Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Under the sea.
Oh, natural. Everything's natural, isn't it? I bet New York's natural.
All right, mate, you got any bagels?
Right, do you know what we're doing today?
Nope.
Are we doing?
Are you going to tell us or are you going to...
I'll give you a clue.
Go on. Ocean. That is ocean.
That's ocean stuff.
But it is.
That is ocean.
Yarr! Yeah, I'm not doing yarr again. Well, shiver me timbers.
No, I'm not doing it.
I can turn that down now. You get the hint.
I get it.
Yeah.
Is it the ocean?
Yeah, you're listening to Weird Tales and the Unexplainable. This is Captain Bob Shoy. Got First Mate Beef.
Hello.
And Tis the Cabin Boy.
Yeah.
We're about to push the boat out. Because it's the second part of the ocean, finally.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Ocean.
Ocean. It's been ages since you did your ocean episode.
Yeah, I know. And I did half the research for this all the way back then. So I'm pretty prepared. But before we push out of port or whatever, we need to talk about a few things quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Because since the last time we recorded, two big things happened.
Okay. We're fortnightly.
Well, no, not that.
Yeah, that is a big thing.
Well, yeah.
Not that.
Pretty big thing.
Well, yeah, some listeners were like, where's the new episode today? I was like, we're fortnightly. We've been trying to warn you for a while.
If you'd have listened.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, where's the episode? Well, you're obviously not a regular listener, so.
Yeah. But Beef's got a child.
Yeah.
Is the main one.
Beef is with child.
Yeah.
I am pregnant.
No, you got rid of one.
What, my pregnancy?
Yeah.
Got rid of the pregnancy and said hello to a little bubba.
Yeah. I have a little boy.
Yeah, it's exciting.
It's really exciting.
And I knew when I uploaded the last episode, but you hadn't announced it on social media yet.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to put it in the episode at the beginning when I said about the Pod Awards.
Yeah, sure.
So I didn't put it in that.
Not even that anyone we know listens to the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah. We'll be all over social media like wildfire before Beef had a chance to announce it himself.
Sure.
So yeah, Beef's got a child.
Mm, I do.
Cool.
And child's good.
Yeah. Yeah, he's doing really well, thanks.
How is child?
Yeah. Child is fine.
Yeah.
He's growing well.
Yeah.
He's sleeping well.
I met him last week.
Did you?
Yeah. He's got ginger hair.
Yeah.
Just like Beef.
Yeah. Just like his dad.
And Beef changed his nappy when I was there.
Cool.
Yeah. Cool. Also, we won the bronze award at the Pod Awards. But I said that on the last show, but that was since last time we recorded.
It's big. It's big news. I said to you guys while we were there, but I really appreciate... whilst we were there, how big a deal it was.
Yeah.
I hadn't really anticipated before we got there, actually, how great it was. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was super fun. And, like, Beef got home about 2 o'clock in the morning, and Rach started feeling a bit funny about having the baby about 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Went into labour as soon as I walked through
the
door.
So it was an exciting weekend for you.
It was. It was almost too much excitement for one weekend.
Yeah. No, so everything's going to be boring.
Award winner on the Saturday, father on the Sunday.
What was better?
Father on the Sunday.
Also good news, the canapés were vegan, some of them.
Also, I want to say thanks to Anthony Anderson listener, yes, because thanks to him, we're going to be getting 3 sheets to the wind on our vote.
Cheers.
He sent us some beers.
Thanks, Anthony. Really appreciate it.
Lovely. So you guys keen for delving back into the ocean?
Diving straight in?
Yeah.
In the deep end?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
The whole of the ocean is the deep end, isn't it?
Are you enthusiastic
not
for
all of it? Some of it's like shallow before
it's
you get
it. Pretty
into
deep.
Not the beach.
That's the beach though.
Yeah, it's the ocean.
That's still the ocean.
No.
Yes.
The beach. The beach,
yes,
is included in the ocean.
No.
Yes.
No. You don't go to the ocean. I'm going to have a nice day out of the ocean.
Mate, if you had a plate of food in front of you, the food is all the food. Just because it's the edge of your food doesn't mean it's not food.
Right, I want you to feel on this episode like we're on a voyage.
A voyage.
A voyage across the ocean. Right, that's what I wanted to feel like.
Okay.
So imagine Muppet Treasure Island. Great film, isn't it?
Whoa! You haven't seen Muppet Treasure Island?
I've seen Muppet Christmas Carol.
Watch Muppet Treasure Island. It's just as good, yeah.
I prefer
it was like the one made after Christmas Carol, so it's like that same like classic era.
Difficult second film.
No, they're the two that are amazing.
It's got Kermit in it.
It's got Kermit in it, yeah. It is brilliant. I was going to say, imagine Muppet Treasure Island, but he hasn't seen it. You know when they're leaving port and like, you know, they're all getting ready to leave? That's what I want us to feel like now. Like,
what about port. Pirates of the Caribbean?
No, not too keen on
Pirates of the Caribbean. Caribbean is terrible.
You don't like Captain what?
I'm not keen.
The original was good.
I never really watched the first one.
What do you mean
one?
The originals? From like what?
There's a 15
years
three?
Ago.
Yeah, yeah.
They all suck.
I never really watched the first one.
I get it. I saw the second one
on a day really like and it. I didn't know what was going on. And then I went to see the third one. I can't remember why.
Yeah.
And I hated the third one.
It's just everyone's terrible.
The second one I remember watching on a day, not really knowing what was going on, but thought it's alright.
I think it's alright. I like it.
And I think it ends on a cliffhanger, doesn't it, the second one? So I was like, oh, we'll go and see the third. And then I saw the third and thought it was rubbish.
Yeah, the second one does it. Cliffhanger.
Yeah. And then the fourth one I watched as well, and I was like...
Oh, the fourth one. I never watched the fourth one.
So, yeah, I want us to feel... Like you got for, like, I'm not saying, like, role-playing.
Yeah.
But every now and then I might pass you a card with dialogue on it.
Oh, man, this is really involved.
Because you're first mate and you're cabin boy and we're, like, travelling the ocean.
Do I have to say it in pirate voice?
Just say it like you're the first mate.
Captain Jack Sparrow.
Something spooky happening around here, Captain. Something like that. You know, just something.
Not from Cornwall.
What?
Not from around these parts, are we?
From Bristol.
We're actually setting off from Japan. Okay, so here's our map of the world, which I drew earlier.
Oh, nice. Mate, Norway and Sweden, that's like a big dick.
That's not very nice. We've got some Swedish listeners.
That's the bell end.
Yeah, sorry, Alice, if you're listening. Nothing against the Swedes. They're lovely people. We're just saying your drawing looks like a big dick. It's not bad, though. It's better than what I could do.
I did that drawing in, like, fucking 3 minutes.
That's very good. 3 minutes.
I'm not having a...
Because I thought I was going to have a proper match.
Did you do that from memory?
No, well, I looked at, like, a globe and quickly...
Ah, right. That's pretty good for a 3 minutes.
You did really well, yeah. You got USA looks like a kangaroo.
All right. Please. Keep criticising, boys.
Having said that, Africa's really good.
Africa's thanks. Good.
Africa's good.
You I started with Africa.
UK looks really good.
Where's the shoe? Where's the boot of Italy?
That's it.
That's it. There.
Right, there's us.
Also,
in Japan right now.
Sweet.
Australia's
that's amazing.
Looks like cat dog now, doesn't it? Have you seen that?
Yeah, just
think
about
cat dog.
So what I've got here, I've got the mystery board out, but it hasn't got post-its all over it. I've drawn a map of the world,
and it's very good.
Is it? I snuck it off like a minute ago.
Yeah.
And I've got a little drawing I've done of our pirate ship. The good ship Unexplainable. And I've stuck us, blue tacked us over Japan.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're in port right now.
Yeah.
And as the journey goes on, we're going to travel the world and uncover some mysteries of the ocean.
Sounds awesome.
So if you haven't listened to the first part of this, I can't remember what episode it was.
Oh, who cares?
I don't care. It was called The Ocean Creatures of the Deep, and that was the monsters and cryptids and stuff. And this is more everything else
yeah.
that I did in that research. This is all the weird, weird goings on under the sea.
Part two. So, like anything that's got part one, you'd want to see part one before you see part two.
Yeah, unless it's Pirates
unless
of the Caribbean.
Unless it's Pirates of the Caribbean, then don't bother.
Unless you're on a date, in which case listen to this one. And then never listen to the third installment.
Right, so, first of all, we've got to go diving.
All right.
Yeah, under the sea, just off the coast.
Under the sea! Under the sea!
I haven't got that sound clip this time.
That's the outro the
last
music.
Time. Did it last time.
Did it really?
Yeah.
For the outro music?
No, not for the outro. We played the song on the episode, though.
Oh, outro music.
Oh, no, we didn't. We played Part of Your World. We didn't play Under the Sea.
A Whole New World?
No, Part of Your
part
World.
Part of Aladdin.
Oh, we had this exact conversation on the last ocean one. Okay, so we're going to go just off the coast of Japan, jump off the side, get on our scuba gear, and we're going to go...
I'm going to put your scuba gear on first.
But, yeah. I'll put in some sound effects on the side of us getting in our scuba gear. So have you guys ever heard of the Yonagani Monument?
No.
No.
Nope.
Okay, close to Japan.
Is it off the coast of Japan?
Off the coast of Japan, where it's close to.
Yeah.
Near a little island called Yonagani.
Okay.
It's known as the Atlantis of Japan.
Ooh. Tell me more.
It was found in 1987.
Okay.
And I guess I better show you some pictures of it.
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be helpful. Let's have a look.
So this is the monument.
Look at this, Tiff.
This is underneath the ocean.
Wow.
That's insane.
Graham Hancock actually talked a lot about this.
Because he did a book about deep sea diving.
I don't think he talked about this in that book. I haven't read that book. He might have, but I've heard him on a podcast. He was on an episode of... Oh, yeah, he was on the Joe Rogan Experience. He's been on it quite a few times, but he was talking about the Yonagani Monument on episode 142. I did write it down.
Oh, nice.
So I'll put a link to that on the blog. But this is the monument under the sea.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah?
It's crazy.
Wow.
I've actually got a video here of someone diving... At the monument, a lot of it is they're just them filming themselves. It's the only diving footage I could find, and it's just this narcissistic guy filming himself half the time. So this is sort of him diving around the monument. This is like literally as good as he actually lets you see at the monument. Like, why get film under the water, but you're just filming yourself holding the stick rather than what you're looking at?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like so it's not rock. It's
like a pyramid almost.
Can't really.
Like a big, it's like a sort, stepped temple.
It's like a stepped pyramid instead of a float pyramid.
I was trying to see because he's like not really using.
It goes all the way down here, you see. It goes
pretty pretty equipment.
Steps.
Oh, dude, stop filming.
Yeah, like, yeah.
It's like himself, but like it's facing the water above. Like it's not facing the bottom of the water. It's the facing
shows
like
the stuff we need to see.
So in the set, we want to see the weird fucking monument.
You can see him and the fucking waves.
Okay. So I'll tell you some of the main features of the monument. The main feature is a rectangular formation measuring 140 by 40 metres.
That's pretty
good. So 490 by 130 foot. About 27 metres or 90 foot tall.
Wow.
And the top is about 5 metres below sea level. So it's not like mega, mega deep, this thing. A lot of people dive to this spot to go and see it.
How low below sea level, sorry?
5 metres.
Really?
The top is only 5 metres from the top.
You'd easily be able to dive down and check out.
Some of its details. Two closely spaced pillars, which rise to within 2.4 metres of the surface. A 5-metre wide ledge that encircles the base of the formation on three sides. A stone column about 7 metres tall. A straight wall about 10 metres long. An isolated boulder resting on a low platform. A low star-shaped platform. I think that was the one in his footage you can see.
Yeah.
A triangular depression with two large holes at its edge and an of straight L-shaped rock. So there's some of the features all over it.
Yeah.
So, is it natural? Is it artificial?
Yeah, where's it come from? What is it?
No one knows. It's a mystery. It's just mysteries of the deep. Yeah, and what do you think?
Surely...
Looks man-made.
If it's off the
It's too perfect and straight, isn't it?
Yeah. To me, it looks man-made.
To me, this
too
looks,
intentional.
Yeah, it looks.
Yeah, but then you look at like Giant's Causeway. Some of that looks quite man-made because it's straight and it almost it's like skyscrapers, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm. But this is like almost etched out like squares.
But what would it be if it was man-made? What could it be? Like a temple?
Yeah, that's what a lot of people think.
Possibly. How far down?
I don't know how far it goes down.
But
altogether.
I mean, literally, if the cliff eroded away, it could easily just.
Do they know if the sea level was ever that low? In that area, or...
The sea level has risen, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Over time.
I think so.
So, if it's only... If the top's only 5 metres, but how far down does it go?
Yeah. Imagine if there was once Earth without a sea, and there was just people.
Oh, that would be pretty bonkers.
And then the people who lived there turned into dolphins, and that's their temples now.
Yeah, you've gone a bit far now.
Well, maybe I haven't gone far enough.
No, that is insane. I think definitely man-made.
Oh, definitely man-made.
Straight away.
Definitely mermaid.
Well,
definitely mermaid.
Yeah. A lot mermaids. Of
it's mermaid.
A lot of geologists think it's a mermaids. Natural formation. They try and tell everyone it's a natural formation.
Geologists.
These are some quotes. Got,
experts.
Some quotes from experts.
Yeah, experts are just fucking appointed.
No, they're not. Experts are experts because they have been.
This is the professor of oceanic geoscience.
What does he say?
Been fashioned solely by natural processes.
How? Where's the evidence?
They're not likely to have had extra energy for building stone monuments like this back at the time it would have been built.
Yeah, but,
but then the Egyptians built pyramids.
He's assuming a lot.
Yeah.
And he's not giving me any evidence.
I said very matter-of-factly for someone who doesn't know what it was like then.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you're only reading a small snippet.
It contains numerous well-defined parallel bedding planes along which the layers easily separate. The rocks of this group are also crisscrossed by numerous sets of parallel, vertically oriented joints in the rock. These joints are natural parallel fractures by which the rectangular formations seen in the monument likely formed. Yonaguni lies in an earthquake-prone region. Such earthquakes tend to fracture the rock in a regular manner. So he thinks, you know,
okay,
chunked down. Right. That's why it looks like steps. Hmm.
Could be.
I think that sounds feasible. So maybe not definitely mermaid. Definitely mermaid. Possibly mermaid.
This is the arguments for it being artificial. This is from Wikipedia.
Oh.
And our listeners love it when we read from Wikipedia.
Oh, piss off.
The flat parallel faces, sharp edges, and mostly right angles of the formation have led some to conclude that the features are man-made. These features include a trench that has two internal 90-degree angles as well as twin megaliths that, according to Kimura, I don't know who Kimura is, appear to have been placed there. These megaliths have straight edges and square corners. However, sea currents have been known to move large rocks on a regular basis. Some of those who see the formations as being largely natural claim they may have been modified by human hands.
So they could have been naturally formed and then modified.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, even some skeptics who think, oh, it's natural, think, well, a lot of it's natural, but then it might have actually been then repurposed and then added to. So how it's like a little bit of both.
How could it be made by the ocean, but then someone go down there and repurpose it underneath?
No, like, maybe earthquake. Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Mermaids, don't they?
Well, right. People have tools for this kind of stuff, don't they?
What about Davy Jones?
You think about...
Supporters of the artificial origins, such as alternative history writer Graham Hancock, also argue that while many of the features seen at Yonaguni are also seen in natural sandstone formations throughout the world, the concentration of so many peculiar formations in such a small area is highly unlikely. They also point to the relative absence of loose blocks on the flat areas of the formation, which would be expected if they were formed solely by natural erosion or fracturing. Robert Schock, we talked about him before, has noted that the rocks are swept with strong currents. First estimated the monument to be at least 10,000 years old,
wow,
dating it to a period where it would have been above water.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I'd be more inclined to believe a geologist in this case, though.
Yeah, but Robert Schock's a geologist.
This was Kimura who said this.
Who's Kimura?
I don't know who Kimura is.
But Dr. Robert Schock, he...
Yeah, Robert Schock, him and Graham Hancock, I think, were actually investigated it together.
Yeah. Well, Robert Schock's a natural geologist, isn't
mm-hmm. he? He revised this estimate to be dated to perhaps 2,000 years ago because the sea level then was close to current levels. So he sort of went back on that 10,000 years and said maybe it's actually 2,000 to 3,000 years.
Right.
But that makes a big difference because that's the difference if it was above sea level or below.
It's a huge difference, yeah. Okay.
Kimura also surmised that the site may be a remnant of the mythical lost continent of Mu.
What's that?
Mu?
Yeah, Mu.
Right.
I've never been there on holidays, to be honest.
Lost continent. Maybe a
flights
bit like Atlantis.
Be insane, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Have to find it first.
So that's kind of Yonaguni.
Okay. I'm not really sure what I mean.
Some people call them the Yonaguni pyramids.
Right. I guess it's not really... It is a big structure, but it's not... So big, like the pyramids draw a lot of attention because of their size.
Yeah.
This is kind of very, like there's information that's feasible for both being man-made and for it to be naturally formed. So It's very interesting.
Anyway, that's just to get us started.
Okay.
We've got some more crazy things below.
Yeah, I was going to hope you'd have more than one thing to show.
Above and below.
I'm really disappointed.
Sea level. Okay.
Are we staying in Japan or are we going off somewhere else?
Do you want to just... So we're getting back on the boat in our diving gear. It's making, like, water all over the deck, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, can you just pass a message on to the cabin boy for me?
Mop that deck, you swoop. Oh, fucked it up already.
Come on. I'll keep the good one, promise.
Swolfy fine.
Mop that deck, you filthy swine.
Swolfy fine.
You swolfy fine.
I've mopped it,
Captain.
Good, good. Good, you're in character. Right, okay.
I fucking mopped it, Captain.
So do you remember...
Like a Scouser cabin boy.
We're going to head out into a bit further into the Pacific now. Oh, by the way, I should really put these this pyramid thing there to mark within that.
Where's the Pacific?
This is the Pacific Ocean. It's all this and all that.
Specifically,
it's there.
It's over there.
And
The
Pacific Ocean. It's very precise.
We're going to pull up at this listening station.
Oh, hello. Where's that? In the Pacific?
There's been some strange sounds documented around here.
Is that a number station?
No, it's not. But do you remember on the First Oceans episode, bloop. I played the bloop,
yeah.
The Julia sound, the train.
Yeah.
And these were all sort of people speculated that they were like big creatures. And then, you know, people did some research in ice and they said it's glaciers moving, it was this, it was that. They worked out what they all were. I purposely didn't talk about two sounds on that episode. Because these are still unidentified.
Ooh.
And could be.
Do you remember number stations?
Yeah.
They're still out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're still doing their thing.
Yeah.
We still don't know what they are.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Just don't let it get to you. Otherwise you lose sleep.
I completely forget. I'm going to listen to that on the way home.
So this is the upsweep.
I missed that episode. Obviously.
You missed it.
I haven't heard it in a while. It's just like...
I haven't listened to those golden episodes forever.
Wasn't that was episode 3?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that my first one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. That's mental. What's this?
Recommendation 80, of the week, another station. 84.
Yeah.
Only got another 16.
So this is the upsweep. This is known as.
Okay.
These are all recorded in the Pacific Ocean.
And this is found in the Pacific.
All in the Pacific Ocean.
In the accurate ocean.
In the Pacific Ocean.
So let's play this. Think of that?
I think it sounds like when I fight in the bath.
Oh, what?
Yeah, let off a siren, mate.
It's like a siren you've got. Whoop, whoop. Danger, danger.
So they don't know High what voltage. This is.
No, that's completely unidentified, unexplained sound.
No one's even stabbed a guest. No one's even tried to attempt to.
The sound appears to be seasonal, generally reaching peaks in spring and autumn, but it's unclear whether this is due to changes in the source or seasonal changes.
Or. Just a mating call for
the best guess is possible volcanic seismicity.
Hmm. Which would be like a siren.
That is, would it?
Wasn't
I? That's what I mean. It seems weird that it's like a.
But then the regularity of it, I don't know. Surely it's an animal.
Do you think it is?
I think it sounds like.
That's the
like
first
bloop.
Thing I thought.
That's the real bloop.
It's like the.
Because there must
bloop's wife.
We said this last time that there must be things down there. Bigger than a blue whale. Like, a much...
Do you think there is,
further
though?
Down.
Yeah, of course there
yeah.
is.
That's crazy, isn't it?
The Earth's bigger than the blue whale, and that's down there.
I don't know if I've said this.
Well, yeah. That's so stupid. The Earth is down there, and that's bigger than a blue whale.
I don't know if I said this on one of the previous episodes, but I love the idea of, like, massive dinosaur-sized creatures walking around on the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, it's very
I've
cool
thought about that ever since I was a kid.
Haven't you heard Hollow Earth, where there's, like, an Earth underneath the ocean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Haven't I heard it? Well, the theory.
Yeah.
The Hollow Earth theory, yeah.
Yeah, have we done that?
A lot of BPRDs about Hollow Earth theory.
Have we done any episodes on that?
No, I think it's come up a couple of times. We haven't actually just properly gone into it. Maybe we could go into like flat Earth and hollow Earth and something else, other things.
Well, the Earth is flat, isn't it?
Oh. I was what? Reading about that today.
You can't see the curvature.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
Actually hurts.
I'm just throwing it out.
The level of stupidity annoys me.
Galileo was a fucking joker. He was the one who said it was round, didn't it?
Anyway, the other unexplainable sound I've got here, because upsweep hasn't captured your imagination.
No.
And that's probably more exciting than the second one.
Well, wait a minute.
I do like it.
I guess it's not really...
I just like that sound.
It's more of a bloopy.
Well, it's just more of a... The first thing I thought of was... It must be an animal.
Oh. But after farting in the bath.
It must be an animal.
Maybe it's an animal farting in its bath, which is the ocean. Do you reckon sharks have baths?
Do sharks have baths?
It's true, isn't it? Because the ocean's like a big bath.
It's true, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
What do you mean?
Where do they keep their shampoo? Like, they get getting wet all the time.
So silly. No. That is so silly.
I'm just saying.
I know.
Have they got a shower head?
Oh.
No, they got a hammer head.
Oh, you beat me to it.
There's loads of hammer heads around Yonagani.
Is there?
Mm.
Do you reckon they made Yonagani? Yonagani's like an ancient...
Stones into shape.
It's an ancient shower cubicle.
The upsweep.
That one is an animal.
Animal. Okay, the other one's called the whistle. But you already heard it. This is it. That's sort of it.
Was that it?
Mm. Well, it goes on for ages, but
I could hear the whistle in the background.
It's kind of like ooh.
I could hear like
a... Oh, could you?
Do it again. Really?
I didn't hear that.
Just a minute, stop it.
It's birds outside.
That's birds, mate.
Oh, fuck's sake, birds. It's birds outside.
I'm leaving that in.
The fucking birds. I bet they sit out the window like...
It's like, ooh.
Mop that turkey for...
But I can hear... It's birds.
Okay. Is there any... No one's got anything...
Well, there's not a lot to say about them because it's just like, these are unidentified.
Do you think that happened as well? Do you reckon there's nothing on that? But when they were doing it, there's birds in the sea and they were just like...
There was like a moo, a cow in the field.
But why has no one even like attempted?
Well,
if I was a marine biologist, I would want to at least give it a go.
Well, they worked out the other ones. That's probably enough, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it comes to the point where we just don't have the equipment to dive deep enough.
I think their best guess... The thing is, it's like sometimes it's really hard to prove... When they say their best guess is like it's volcanic activity, they're like pretty sure that's it, but they can't like prove it. They got to get down there to prove it. So it's like that's pretty much.
You can't get down that far.
It's officially unidentified.
Imagine if the entire ocean seabed across the whole planet was just one massive animal.
Ooh,
that'd be horrible. Like a massive octopus.
We're living on the back.
And
of
the
a
reason
giant
all
turtle.
The countries stay in place is because the octopus holds it in place like that.
Wouldn't happen.
What do you mean?
Because when Noah split the sea, no way, Moses split the sea, it would be like, what?
Okay.
All right, let's shove off.
All right.
When Noah split the sea. He did do something with the sea, though, didn't he?
No, he took
the animals across the sea. Or just sailed on top.
Well, just, yeah, they probably didn't really sail anywhere.
Right, let's sail off.
Getting cold, Captain.
Yeah, it is getting cold because we're flying upside down. Because we're flying upside down right above here, and we're just going to park ourselves right in here. You know the expression, like, it's Baltic out here.
Is this in...
It is going to be Baltic because we're going to right in the middle of the Baltic Ocean.
Oh, okay. Is that in Scandinavia?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, it's... Yeah, yeah. Baltic Ocean.
It's a funny word, isn't it, Baltic?
You ever heard of the Baltic Sea Anomaly?
No.
The Baltic what?
Sea Anomaly.
No.
This will blow your leads off.
Will it blow my Baltics off?
Yeah. We've got to get back in our diving gear again.
Oh, it's going to be freezing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's all wet. Oh, it's all wet from last time.
Tuck everything
in. Can I get a dry suit?
And it's cold.
Arr, you swine.
Stop it, Captain.
Right, this one will blow your lids off, honestly.
Okay.
This is...
Exciting.
I'm not even going to tell you what it is. I'm going to imagine we're diving down under the water.
Okay.
And you're going to see this. So tell the viewers, the listeners, what you can see as we're diving down here.
Okay.
And so I'll even put some like background music, like we're diving bubbles.
It's quite dark as well, like at the moment.
Ooh. The Baltic Anomaly. It looks like a massive coin.
It kind of looks like Captain America's shield.
No, it looks like a massive coin.
Oh, okay. This is huge, by the way.
How big is it?
I'll get the dimensions in a minute, but this is huge.
That looks really big. It looks like the hats that the mushrooms wear on Ramp Mario.
It's bigger than that.
It looks like...
Wow.
A huge giant. And it's like the coin they used to use.
It looks like...
like it was real.
It looks like a massive spherical object.
Looks like the Millennium Falcon.
Mmm. I was actually waiting for you in one of you said, because that's what I thought it looks like.
Oh, I see.
But
yeah,
you look at it from above.
It's got little, like, indents.
You look at it from above.
Yeah.
Holy shit. What if the last Star Wars, the Millennium Falcon crashed into the Baltic Sea?
The last Jedi, and that's why it's the last Jedi, because Luke and Rey fly in and kill themselves.
To Earth.
No, episode 9.
The old Earth technology.
This is in the ocean between Finland and Sweden.
Okay.
So, it's cold. Cold down here.
Really, really Baltic.
Yeah. Discovered June 2011.
That's really recent.
Mm-hmm.
6 years ago.
By a Swedish diving team.
Sweet.
Called Ocean X.
Okay.
And their job is basically they dive down, they look for shipwrecks basically and try and retrieve stuff from them. A bit like Drake does in Uncharted 4, where they have retrieved like old alcohol that's actually worth money and things on shipments.
I love that level.
Yeah,
and it's going like
Drake dives.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was just a rapper.
So that's their job, and then they found that whilst looking for a shipwreck.
That's mental.
So you imagine you're diving down, then what the fuck? So you've seen the pictures. It's 60 meters in diameter.
Whoa.
So 200 foot. That's what I'm saying. It's big.
It's pretty big.
How many double decker buses is that?
I don't know.
Well, think about running a 100 meter sprint on the field.
How many double decker buses is 100?
on the field.
It's like 2/3 of that.
That was still in school.
The
200, 200 foot. So a house, Tis, is about 30 foot.
What size?
But this house would be. Like, what does it mean?
Like a free bed.
Well, a bungalow would obviously be a bit shorter. Just your standard, I don't know, two bed semi. Would be 30 foot high.
That's why they use double decker buses, because they're always the same size. Houses are so varied.
Yeah, but some it's hard to picture a double decker in it. Like,
no. So this is what I think that thing is. I'm going to give you a clue by sticking this on our map.
A UFO. I was going to say a UFO.
You think it's a UFO?
UFO.
It looks so much like it.
It's made of stone, isn't it?
Right, you ready for... No.
What's it made of?
It's like metal alloy and shit.
No!
No, it's not.
It's made of metal alloy.
Yeah, right, get ready. The team reported, when they discovered it, that the formation rests on a pillar, like it's on top of like a pillar in that, where it's landed. So I'm already using words to try and make you think it's UFO. Landed. And includes a structure similar in appearance to a staircase leading into a dark hole.
Fuck off. Why haven't they researched this more? Well, they have.
Wait a minute.
And they took off.
Like into or up world. Into the bottom of the...
No, where that... You know, to the left of that structure, there was them steps.
Yeah. Oh, right.
That goes all the way down into this dark, dark hole under.
Right.
And they look like steps.
Well, they look like steps to me. Well, you didn't think that looked like steps?
I don't remember it.
Can't.
So
This is a rendition. This isn't a photograph.
Okay.
But they say where that is, these steps... lead down into what looks like just a long, dark, dark hole, which they can't dive into.
But that's corrosion, isn't it? Corrosion does that over years.
Okay.
So what have they done since then?
Okay, well, let me get some more of the description up for you.
It piqued my interest. I need a cup of tea, to be honest, so...
Really?
I'll get the kettle on a minute.
You're like a 90-year-old.
Okay. The formation had an appearance of rough granite, is round, 3 to 4 metres thick, and approximately 60 metres in diameter... stands on an 8-metre tall pillar-like feature and is located in depths of 85 to 90 metres. There's also a smaller object not far away, the object at the end of what resembles a 300-metre runway, as they described it. The OceanX team has published one additional close-up solar scan on their website and 9 additional close-up scans. On their second expedition, they reported to find something that looks like a staircase with a round black hole that goes directly into the structure.
So what have they done since? When was that?
But has this been done by ufologists?
If I found that, I'd be down there the next day.
Exactly, but it's being covered up.
Who?
By
this
FBI.
Is what people are saying it is, ready? Remains of a World War II anti-submarine device. That does not look like any technology I've ever seen.
No.
Yeah, and it's definitely not World War II era technology.
How many anti?
Who would have been?
Yeah, but I've never seen a submarine.
Who was fighting in World War II around the Baltic Sea? That's totally out of the way.
The Finns.
The fighting Finns. None of them fight.
Yeah, but the Nazis went all around to try and conquering. They pretty much conquered the whole of Europe, didn't they?
Not Sweden. Did they?
Yeah.
They wanted everything.
But did they actually do it, though?
It's pretty much all of Europe, wasn't it?
Did they actually conquer Sweden, though?
You're the one with a historian wife who studies World War II, like, every day.
Come on. Let's ring her up. Did she did they conquer
Others think
Denmark,
it's...
Sweden, Finland, and Norway?
Others think of it as a damaged gun turret from an old battleship. Oh, looks nothing like that to me.
Nothing.
Others think of it as a flying saucer.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Geologists have stated, get ready for
this.
It's
the most logical.
Get ready for this. Geologists have stated.
Yeah.
This most likely a natural geological formation.
Oh, fuck off. That is bollocks.
Honestly, fuck off.
Are you right? Is he asleep? Good. Sorry to interrupt. Am I interrupting stuff? Okay. I've got a quick question for you. And yes, it is to do with history. Did the Nazis ever conquer Scandinavia, basically? Or, like, invade, like, Sweden, Finland...
Denmark.
They did? Yeah. Obviously, to try and get to us. Yeah.
That's so scary, isn't it? To think in our... Not in our lifetime.
No, it's fine. It's just we're looking at...
specifically not in our lifetime, but in our...
We're looking at stuff
near
in the ocean
lifetime.
And...
There was an actual an evil
genius. They found something
genius
that looked like a UFO.
That tried to...
But people said it could have been stuff left over, like anti-submarine stuff or left over from World War II. So... Yeah. Okay. So it's plausible. Well, that's fine. We just... If you're fairly confident that they were in Scandinavia doing lots of Nazi stuff... Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Well, thanks very much for that. All right. Well, I'll see you later. Bye.
They did.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway. All right. Okay.
So,
what do you think about? So, they're the four main theories. So, what are you going to hang your hat on?
I'm going to hang my hat on Millennium Falcon.
Anti-sub device.
No.
Damaged gun turret.
No.
Flying saucer.
Yeah.
Natural formation.
The most likely thing is flying saucer.
Yeah, it really is.
Oh, no.
What do you think it is, then?
Look at the picture.
A load of balls.
What do you think it is?
I think it's anti-war stuff. It's like...
Bollocks. Okay,
it looks
bollocks
like nothing
give
human
the, give me
ever
the model.
What do you mean?
Give me the model and make of the battleship that came.
That looks like nothing human. No anti-sub turret. It's like this like weird egg, like rounded corners like
says
that.
Says who? Have you
me
ever seen one?
Yeah.
No, of course you haven't.
Yeah.
No.
I've seen every battleship made by the Nazis.
Okay.
Especially the Baltic version.
Right. Okay. Very good. Well, you asked me to hang my hat on something. That's what I'm hanging my hat on.
I'm going
to
hang my
hat. Right, I'm going to show you some anti-submarine weapons.
Okay.
Oh, God. Nothing like
that. Yeah, but they're all on Navy boats, aren't they? They're not underwater.
Yeah, but they've been sunk.
Yeah, if they'd have been sunk, that could have just been the piece of one of these top things, wouldn't it?
It's huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's bigger than that.
I'm going to find out how big a double-decker
bus
is.
Why ask for my opinion and then tell me my opinion is wrong?
I want you to say it's an alien.
How big is a double-decker bus?
As big as one double-decker bus. Because that's the unit of measurement you use.
A double-decker bus in the UK is 15 metres. And although there's no theoretical restriction on height, coaches are normally built to 4.38 metres high. While hybrid buses are normally 20 centimetres taller.
And that's 60 metres in diameter.
So how
it's
many...
four double-decker buses in diameter.
Fucking hell.
That isn't the top of a sub.
That's massive.
Why would it have to be a UFO, though?
Okay, this is the criticism it's received.
Oh.
The single sonar image provided by OceanX has drawn criticism from various sources. The Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution has said that it cannot be trusted, stating that cheap, inaccurate instrument was used for the image. He added that it had been improperly wired and calibrated. MSNBC said media comparisons to a flying saucer were likely suggested by graphic outlines drawn onto the sonar image, said to resemble the fictional spaceship Millennium Falcon. Paul of the Monterey Bay Aquarium Research Institute characterized the discovery as curious and fun, but much ado about nothing.
What's it made of? You said it was made of metal. Or it wasn't stone. You didn't say stone.
They said it appeared... Appearance of rough granite. Oh, chemical composition. Divers reportedly found it to contain limonite, geothite. Claim these materials are metals which nature could not reproduce itself. But then someone argued that over time, that metal right. could be made naturally. So it's all just people arguing, basically. I've got a weird news story about it.
Okay. An alien came out of it.
Someone who was studying it further thinks that could be just one in a series of crashed UFOs on the seabed.
Someone argued...
That's just again. One. There's like a whole fleet of them under there.
Could be a UFO on the...
Anyone sure. could say that. I could say that. I could say it's 1,500 across the sea. Go find them all.
Pretty much that's the news.
They 90% like, of the sea's undiscovered, isn't it?
They were just like, it's part of a fleet. Do you want the actual fact for that,
Rebel
Tissi?
Alliance.
Because I've got it here.
Oh, yeah, put the kettle on.
It covers 75% of the Earth's surface and only 10% has been explored.
Exactly. So that means the other 90% is full of aliens.
Right, let's shove off anyway.
Let's
right,
get
okay.
Kraken.
Yeah, Tissi, here's a bit of dialogue for you. Well, while we move on.
I don't want to share my opinions anymore since you guys slagged them up.
Which ones?
Well, the one about the non-UFO.
Wait a minute. I see something in the distance. Is that another ship?
Oh. Is that what our cabin boy sounds like?
It is. It's me, Cabin Boy Jones.
Right, so we've come face to face with another ship.
Ah.
Does anyone want to get
Isn't
off?
Isn't that near the triangle, Bermuda Triangle?
No, not quite. But maybe we'll be going there.
Oh, the Bermuda Circle.
That looks like the Disney ship.
Do you want to go and have a look on board?
Yes.
See what's, see oh,
we're going to board them.
So, yeah, see, well, we're hailing them and nothing's happening. So
is it a ghost ship?
How
over?
Do you hail a ship? You're like, stick your
fingers. Go on the Satanoi.
Hello.
Hi, mate, you got any bagels?
Bagels?
I love bagels.
That's going to the front of the episode. Okay, who wants to hop on board the ship and see what's going on then?
I'll hop on board, Captain.
All right, what do you see over there, Tissi?
Nothing.
Is anyone there?
No.
This is awful.
Because I was like, should I do a half role play? And I thought it'd be so shit, it'd be funny. And it is. It's exactly what I hoped.
No, it's not my mum, is it? I'm just like my mum. Just can't fucking multitask.
Oh mate.
Oh, so there's no one on board.
No.
God.
I'm trying to string it out. Like, but all their belongings, are there signs of people being there? Are their belongings there?
Yeah.
This is bloody awful. It's great.
Right, what's the name of the boat? Look on the side.
The Mary Celeste.
Yeah, the Mary Celeste.
Yeah.
It's Mary Celeste,
the Mary Celeste.
Yeah. No, Mary Celeste.
The Mary Solicitor.
Right, have you guys ever heard of the Mary Celeste?
No.
Really?
No.
Oh, wow, I was like, this would be one you've heard of.
No, because otherwise he'd have said it right.
That's true.
Oh, the Mary Celeste, yeah.
All
oh,
right. The Black Pearl.
All right, well, I've got...
Oh, the Johnny Depp, yeah.
I'll just have someone explain on YouTube what the Mary Celeste is. I thought you would know.
I have no idea. Have you not?
You might recognise the story when you hear it.
The Mary Celeste. The story of the Mary Celeste is surrounded by the most mysterious of circumstances. To this day, there is no definitive explanation as to what happened to the captain and crew. The crew set sail in November of 1872 on its way to Italy. It should have taken just a short time for the ship to arrive in the harbor, but after 8 days, the shipping company became suspicious. That's when they would send out a rescue party to search for the ship. And that is exactly what they found. Only they didn't find the crew, because they had completely disappeared. The clothing, food, belongings, and 1,700 barrels of alcohol had all been completely untouched. In fact, the only thing that was missing was a single lifeboat, which could not have held all 10 passengers. There were also no signs of a struggle, and the ship was perfectly intact. Whatever happened to the crew of the Mary Celeste, we may never know, but we can be fairly certain that it did not meet a pleasant death out at sea.
Okay, that's the Mary Celeste.
Wow.
So you guys never heard of that? It's one of the most famous sort of ghost ship things no. ever reported.
So they found this just bobbing along.
Yeah, it was supposed to be going to Italy.
And it's now in the middle of the Atlantic.
Yeah, it's just not there anymore. That's it for the story.
They towed it.
Way away.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I know what's gone on.
Oh, well, okay. What I've got here...
It's going to be really disappointing when I tell him what it actually
I've got
is.
Five theories on what happened to the Mary Celeste.
Okay,
But you roll out yours.
Dracula.
Dracula?
Yeah.
Why? Oh, because he jumped on that ship and killed all the crew. I love that bit. That's my favourite bit of that book.
Yeah, mate, you need to listen to that on audio. It's terrifying. Did you find it scary? I found it really scary to listen to
that. Yeah, I was working in an empty building, and I was working on my own the week I listened to that audio book, and I was so captivated by that chapter when I was working. It's like, you know, creepy in the house. Like that's awesome, my favourite bit of that story.
And the rest is terrible.
The first bit is amazing.
It's like he blows all his beans in that bit.
The first chapter and first few chapters are amazing when Harker's first there. Then it sort of dips a bit. I don't care. Me and his diary forever. Then there's that ship, which is amazing. And then the rest just goes on for fucking ever. And I wanted to be interested in who's the guy from Amsterdam that's in it. Real famous character.
Oh, he's from Amsterdam. Oh, Nosferatu.
Van Helsing.
What did you say?
Nosferatu. Nosferatu is Dracula.
He said,
I wanted Van Helsing to be an awesome, interesting character when he came in, but he just wasn't. It's boring.
Okay, it's clearly not.
Well, we've got to keep moving quick, so I'm just going to chuck a few of these at you and tell me what you think. Real or rabs on this? Crazed mutiny.
What, all 10? 10 people. Rabs.
Rubs. And there would have been sign of a struggle, surely.
Yeah, I'd have thought so. Or blood or something.
Criminal conspiracy.
Well, they stole things. What was on board? What was it?
Alcohol. They were supporting...
just alcohol.
Moving alcohol. There was loads of barrels, but it was untouched.
Unlikely.
It was untouched.
Unlikely. Rubs. Rubs that.
Rubs it.
Alien abduction.
Reels. What do you reckon, Tist? Alien Rubs. Abduction.
Rubs. Aliens don't like shipmates.
Says who?
Just me.
Natural disaster.
Nah. They're taking the ship as well.
Poison. Maybe they all ate something.
Yeah, but why weren't their bodies
there? They all got dicky tummies.
Why weren't their bodies there? Alcohol explosion.
Oh, alcohol explosion.
Yeah.
But they said the ship was intact.
Perhaps the most convincing theory, this is what actual people think it is, relates to the ship's cargo of industrial alcohol. Whether due to the turbulence or porous barrels, noxious alcoholic fumes may have escaped, either causing a small explosion or making the crew think an explosion was imminent. Briggs may have then given the order to temporarily abandon ship, with everyone piling into the lifeboat to sail behind the Mary Celeste until the danger had passed. The rope attaching the boat to the ship may have then become undone, leaving them to bob uselessly as the empty Mary Celeste sailed away, abandoning them to the awful immensity of the sea.
Don't you find that, to me, is like a nightmare?
Yeah, that's
being
terrifying.
Being totally stranded in the middle of the sea is awful.
Yeah, which the sea is a scary place.
Open water, it's such a terrible feeling.
You said this last time as well.
I'm mentioning it again because it's so terrible.
I thought you liked open water.
No.
You've seen Open Water 2?
There's not a second one.
I heard someone talk about it today.
No.
Genuinely heard it, but I think they were joking.
Open Water... Oh, not this again.
It does. It does exist. Open Water 2, Adrift.
Oh, what the hell?
Why did they make a sequel to that film?
They didn't need to make a sequel, because the film was dreadful.
When a group of friends fail to lower the ladder of their boat, they find themselves stranded in the surrounding waters and struggle to survive. So it's just watching people float around the water again. Why did you need a sequel to that film?
But genuinely, that terrifies me. When I was a kid, I used to have nightmares quite regularly. Just all of a sudden, my dream would start with me being in the middle of the sea.
Well, it's complete isolation, isn't it?
The last two nights, I've had dreams about being chased. The first one was through dimensions by, like...
through dimensions?
Yeah, I was running through, like, different dimensions. It was really fucking weird. And then... Another one was when I was in, like, this house, and we were waiting for, like, these rioting people to, like, turn up and, like, just destroy the... so we're just, like, ready to run. Dart. Strange. Wonder what dreams mean.
Do another episode, mate. I think that sounds pretty feasible.
The alcohol explosion,
probably. I can't think of... When you think of all the other explanations...
They sound rubbish.
Like, stupid. You got to that last one. Yes, definitely.
It's interesting, because some people poo-poo these ideas, but some people say that when they found the ship, there was, like, dinner, like, served up, ready to be eaten. Like, it was, like, really...
So it would have been an emergency.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, a temporal...
But it also looked... everyone says it looked like they were going to come back. It looked like they were just temporarily left the ship.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah. Well,
what was the ship called? The Mary Celeste.
The Mary Celeste, yeah.
Awesome.
Time to shove off on the Mary Celeste.
Hold steady, crew. The sea's getting rough.
First mate, can you check the compass? Whereabouts are we heading? It seems like we're going off track.
I can't get a proper reading, Captain.
Something's going on. I should have done that in a Scottish accent.
Bermuda Triangle.
Something's going on.
Bermuda Triangle's coming up.
Did you?
Yeah, we got it.
Right on the triangle.
Okay, obviously there's a lot of info on Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah. I can't believe we haven't done it until now.
I almost gave it its own episode. But then I was just kind of, like, I think, I'd already done half the research and was just like...
Didn't they find out what it was? Or they reckon they...
Mate, he's going to get to that in a minute.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Hello.
Okay, Bermuda Triangle.
Where is it?
In near Bermuda.
Yeah, it's between Bermuda, Miami, and Puerto Rico.
Ooh.
It's that triangle there.
Wow.
How big is it?
Big.
So, it's like triangle.
I think you'll be surprised at how big it is.
About as big as 10 double decker buses.
Isn't it massive? Doesn't it cover like a ginormous amount of
water? 500,000 square miles of ocean.
No.
How many meters is that?
Mate, miles is hard to.
Yeah. Just a minute. 5,000.
500,000 square miles.
500,000.
Why are we converting
miles
everything?
In meters?
Everything's being converted.
Why does he need to know?
How high is a double decker?
No, because I'm just putting it in perspective for the listeners. Only because of the readers.
The listeners know. 500,000.
Most of our listeners are American. They work in miles. The measurement I gave, rum, because we're at sea.
Whoa. Oh, that hence the cubes. Put it on the rocks. Got work tomorrow morning?
No, got day off.
Awesome. Me too.
So that's 129.
Yeah, good luck with that number.
That's billions, isn't it?
It's big.
So how many double-decker buses is there?
I'll give you some stats on the Bermuda Triangle.
Right. It's a lot of double-decker buses.
At least 1,000 lives lost within 100 years. In the Bermuda Triangle.
1,000 lives.
1,000 lives in 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's like 10 a year.
Yeah.
On average, 4 aircraft and 20 yachts go missing every year.
How many?
4 aircraft and 20 yachts.
But that is quite...
How does that work?
On average.
Oh, okay.
I just listened to the full sentence before you get up in arms.
10 no, people die listening. A year, and more than that yachts keep, and airplanes go missing.
Because it's different stats, isn't it? They're different stats.
Yeah, shat stats. Go on.
I found this really interesting.
Yeah.
Compasses do not point magnetic north while you're in the Bermuda Triangle.
Where do they point?
True north.
Which is?
I didn't even know what true north was.
North.
The Earth, yeah?
Yeah.
It's on a slight tilt.
Yeah.
So if you look at the Earth, the North Pole's there and the South Pole's there.
Hmm.
So magnetic north is sort of that way. But when you're in the Bermuda Triangle, it points true north.
Oh.
Well, like up in the universe.
Up to the true north of where we're pivoted on in the universe, yeah.
It's so fucking weird, though, because what is true north? Because we're in space in a void.
Exactly.
Like, what is
so
up?
Magnetic north, because we're on a tilt, is that way.
But a tilt
which is north.
To what? I guess a tilt from the sun.
Yeah.
Okay, so up is like...
directly upwards to the planet.
So equidistant from the sun.
Yeah.
Because that's all we can measure against. Because if you took out the sun, you'd be like, where is anything?
So that's really weird, right?
That's wow, kind of that's really strange. Why would that change?
So the triangle's true to the roots. It knows
so what's
roots.
Going on down there that's meaning...
So what happened is the Earth tilted and the triangle was like, nah. I'm going to carry on pointing the way it was.
So no wonder they lose so many aircraft and yachts especially, because if they're following compasses to land, if the compass keeps moving, eventually run out of...
Yeah, but surely you'd just go up to the fucking... You'd just go up to, like, Antarctic.
I've got some weird stories here about the Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, good.
The Ellen Austin was a large American ship that frequently travelled between New York and London. On one of these regular trips... the ship came across another sailing vessel moving quickly in the Bermuda Triangle with no one on board. The Ellen Austin transferred some of its crew to the other ship in order to try and scavenge it. The crew attempted to sail it alongside the Ellen Austin to London, but the plans changed when 2 days later they got separated during a storm, and after a search, coming up empty, continued to London. On another trip, the Ellen Austin came across the other ship once again and sent crew to salvage it. Once again, no one was on board, and it disappeared days later. Do you want to read one? Who wants to read one?
I'll read one.
Go on, I'll go on.
Go on, I'll go on. Who wants one of the biggest and most famous losses?
Nah.
All right, babe.
Fine. Great. Thanks. Am I reading this now, yeah?
Can I have the go for it.
One of the biggest and famous losses of US military occurred in 1945. Five U.S. Navy Avenger torpedo bombers flew from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, for a sortie to the island of Bimini. The mission had 14 men. After about 90 minutes, the radio operators received a signal that the compass was not working. After that, the communication was lost. The bombers were never found. The three planes that went for their rescue also disappeared.
Huh. What? You send more people into the fucking hole.
Pick one.
Mm-hmm. The USS Cyclops was a massive carrier ship that supplied fuel to the American fleet.
Really?
Yeah.
Typo. Good, thanks.
To the American fleet in WW1. The ship set sail with 309 people on board. Fucking hell, that's a lot. And was full of heavy cargo, probably like chips and stuff to feed them. The ship was last heard from in Barbados, where it stopped to load more chips before making final stretch of the journey to Baltimore, where it was expected. It never arrived in Baltimore. A huge search and initiative started covering the entire route of the Cyclops, following for leftover debris and chips, featuring the ship that had fallen victim to the German submarines.
God. Are you the kid in class that the teacher never asked to reach it?
Yeah. No trace of the ship was ever found, and it makes one of the largest losses of life in the Bermuda Triangle. In 1941... two of the Cyclops' sister ships disappeared along the same route.
Why did they go
They
again?
Sent the sisters on the same route. You'd think they'd learn from their big brother.
Yeah, but they must have thought, bollocks. And then they went as well.
Yeah. That's what happens when geologists say bollocks, it's not on a UFO. And then it, do you know what I mean? It turns out to be one.
People have experienced electronic fog in the Bermuda Triangle, which can be a time travel tunnel too.
Ooh.
Pilot Bruce Gernon claims he lost 28 minutes after flying through a time-warping cloud tunnel.
Wow.
That is such bullshit. That's like my my homework.
Wait. Because that's what I thought. The plane went missing from radars.
Okay.
Ooh.
Wow.
Only to re-emerge in Miami Beach.
Oh.
It went missing from all radars 28 minutes, and he said he lost 28 minutes.
Whoa.
Whilst going through an electronic fog in the Bermuda Triangle.
So what is it then?
What is the Bermuda Triangle?
Don't know,
mate.
They found out, didn't they?
Well, do you know who the first person to ever report the Bermuda Triangle was?
Captain Cook. Napoleon?
Christopher Columbus.
Really? He made it, though.
First documented experiences from 1492.
Wow.
Fucking ages ago.
His ship's compass was malfunctioning. These are what he reported in his logs, which we've said about the pointing north and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He reported that his ship's compass started malfunctioning. Mysterious lights appeared over the water. The sea was rougher than it had been for the rest of his voyage. And he reported witnessing a fireball flying through the sky and crashing into the sea.
Hmm.
Whoa. He was off his tits, though, wasn't he, Columbus?
Did he take drugs?
Then they might have had scurvy, mightn't they?
They were unregulated back then.
Yeah, but also, long journey, lots of alcohol on board.
Lots of men.
Rum. What is it about rum that pirates like so much?
It lasts. Alcohol, strong.
Loads of alcohol.
Bit
lasts,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Wine lasts.
What is it? Rum is like a characteristic of pirates, isn't
it? I like rum.
Yeah, I know.
It's like an yeah, I know. Intervention.
Yes, we know. No, joking. But what makes it so ruddy, good for the sea?
Rud. Good, I like what you did there.
I think because you can put spices and shit in it, can't you? And it makes it.
You could do that with any drink, really.
Yeah, but I think it's
tenuous.
I don't know. Captain Morgan, isn't it? He's a ship. Anyway, what is it?
I don't know. I swear I saw a TV program where they're like, it's all a load of bollocks, it's just nothing.
I thought recently I did see something like they did find out what it was, but...
Well, I'm going to throw a few of the theories at you guys. You can reel and rub some again.
Okay.
Because, you know, Bermuda Triangle, what's it also known as, you know?
The Bermuda...
No.
Square.
No.
Right.
The Devil's Triangle.
Okay.
Because some people believe that that's where the devil lives.
Oh.
It's the portal to hell.
Oh, come
on. They said that about Mexico. Is it Mexico?
Don't know.
No.
Okay, so not right. Portal to hell.
No, that's
what
mental.
What about a vortex to another dimension?
That's mental.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
No.
The location of Atlantis, possibly?
Well, no. I think that's off the coast of thingy. That
well, we talked about it, but this is another big theory. Mm-hmm. And the energy crystals that powered Atlantis, that old crystal technology that's rumoured to be clean energy, affect the electronics above because it's sunk below there.
I'd love to get my hands on one of them crystals.
Yeah, me too. No, just safe for no petrol.
No electricity bill. Be great.
Alien interference?
No.
Well, Atlantis was alien interference, wasn't it?
Wait a minute, you were all over aliens earlier,
no? No, because
okay,
I mean,
this might be the theory
can't
you heard
your
recently.
Aliens in one basket.
Because this is what a lot of scientists think it is.
God.
Methane gas.
What?
Okay.
Wait. There's what? Large pockets of methane gas in that area of the ocean.
They're talking methane gas.
Right? And basically, this creates huge bubbles.
Yeah.
Which will then rise and decrease the density of the water.
Wow.
Which is not adequate buoyancy.
What do you mean?
It doesn't create adequate buoyancy for the ships. Right. So then the ships just sink.
But what about the compass?
I don't know.
Well, there you go. It doesn't.
What do you mean? People are obviously looking into it, and just because it's a boring answer,
it does make sense. It's, imagine your ship just starts sinking for no reason, right? But then everyone says, why is there no debris?
Yeah.
And that's because right through the middle of the Bermuda Triangle is the Gulf Stream.
Right.
And they say that's the reason for the...
Is that like a trench in the sea? Where
basically,
like
the way I've written it here is like imagine a strong river running through the middle of the ocean. You just get like a strong current. So that runs right through, so it would just suck it all away, disperse it over the ocean, and like a few planks of wood over the course of the whole ocean, you're not going to implement it to the Bermuda Triangle. It's a major surface current, is what the Gulf Stream is that runs through there. Yeah, and it drags the debris away. So that's the boring answer of what people think it is.
God.
I'm going to have to nail
how
my
can we actually get in
mast.
There, though?
Huh?
How can we get in there? Because we can't use modern technology and we can't use old technology. How can we find out what the fuck's going on?
You get on a boat and go in there and text me when you see...
Because as soon as I text you, it'll get the signal going and then I'll be disappeared. Just like the Cyclops and the ships.
What I've got here as well, this is a criticism of the whole concept of the Bermuda Triangle.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so this guy, Larry Koosh, he wrote a book called The Bermuda Triangle Mystery, Solved.
Oh, of course it is.
In 1975.
Fucking hell, that's ages ago.
Right, so this is just, I'm just going to paraphrase this. I'm going down just to the bullet points. He concluded that the number of ships and aircraft reported missing in the area were not significantly greater, proportionally speaking, than any other part of the ocean.
Okay.
Then why do we talk about it?
The area, also the Bermuda Triangle
builds up like, you know.
It's notorious for being an area with like really violent weather anyway. So which some people just like, well, that might just be it. Like it's really bad weather and these ships can't take it. The area frequented by tropical cyclones, the number of disappearances that did occur were for the most part neither disproportionate, unlikely, nor mysterious. Furthermore, Bullitz and other writers would often fail to mention such storms or even represent the disappearances as having happened in calm conditions where meteorological records clearly contradict this. The numbers themselves have been exaggerated by sloppy research. These are all his bullet points. The boat's disappearances, for example, would be reported, but its eventual, if belated, return to port may not have been. Some disappearances had, in fact, never happened. One plane crash was said to have taken place in 1937 off Daytona Beach, Florida, in front of hundreds of witnesses. A check of the local papers revealed nothing. That's a bit flimsy. It wasn't in the papers, so it didn't happen. The legend of the Bermuda Triangle is manufactured mystery perpetrated by writers who either purposefully or unknowingly made use of misconceptions, faulty reasoning, or sensationalism.
So what about the guy who just travelled through time?
What about him?
Oh, straight away. Busted his whole problem-solved fucking ethos.
I'm here to make sure problems don't get solved. There's actually way less disappearances now. Like the last,
because we avoid it.
The last year of like lots of disappearances was like 2008.
I really want to go to Bermuda.
Yeah,
I always wanted to go ever since Sword in the Stone. The wizard goes, "I'm going to Bermuda,"
and that was enough for you.
And then he comes up back with some Bermuda shorts.
Right. Well, do you know what's underneath the Bermuda Triangle?
Rocks.
We're going back underwater again.
Seabed.
Well,
so
how do we
get
know?
Those wet, horrible.
How do we know what's underneath there if no one can get there?
Oh, people have been there.
People have been there and back.
This is, well, think how big Bermuda is. Bermuda Triangle.
I don't know.
This is one little bit.
Like you told you earlier, 500,000 square miles.
How many double-decker buses?
So, one of the islands, the Bimini Island,
mm-hmm.
is in the Bermuda Triangle, and just off of the Bimini Island is a possible path to Atlantis.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
There's any pictures?
There is.
Do you think Atlantis is real?
No. Oh. You were ready for a full-blown conversation then, weren't you? And I wasn't even having
it. Okay, ready?
In the late 1960s, a startling discovery was made here off the coast of Bimini. A cluster of huge submerged stones in the form of a road. These stones, ranging in size from 1 to 10 tons, appear to have been fitted together by man and has convinced believers that this was part of Atlantis. The Atlantis legend dates back over 11,000 years and concerns a magnificent island empire in the Atlantic. It was described as a civilization unequaled before or since. It supposedly disappeared beneath the surface in a matter of hours, leaving not a trace behind. There are also those who believe that there may be giant power crystals deep in the earth here. They supposedly help guide UFOs from other worlds and might be the source that affects compasses on both ships and airplanes in the Bermuda Triangle.
You really can see why some people would think that that was man-made.
They believe that this is Atlantis, that this is one of the first signs where Atlantis is beginning to show itself, and they believe that over a period of time that more and more and more of the civilization will be able to be seen.
I guess if you believe it now, you can see the road. Some of those edges are pretty straight, but kind of not quite enough to convince the skeptic.
Nothing's enough to convince the skeptic.
So I'll show you, I've only got a couple of really small pictures of the Bimini Road, which is also sometimes called the Bimini Wall.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And this is, I reckon again, this could be... So there's this path.
Oh, that's fucking Minecraft shit. That's banging.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah?
Hmm.
You like that one?
I do like it.
Okay.
Properly grouted and everything.
It is half a mile long.
Half a mile?
Yeah.
How many double-decker buses is
it? 0.8 kilometres.
0.8 kilometres again. So,
yeah.
0.8.
So what do you think, man-made?
800.
Half a mile.
What do you think, man-made?
I think it's Atlantean-made.
You really?
Yeah, of course. Why not?
Sometimes called the Bimini Wall. Some people think that actually that's not a path and it's actually the top of a wall and Atlantis is under.
Mm. Okay.
But geologists and archaeologists, do you know what they think?
What? Who put it?
Natural formation.
Oh, natural. Everything's natural, isn't it? I bet New York's natural.
Geologists. That's going in the front as well.
Geologists wouldn't even study New York, would they?
No, because they're fucking too busy poo-pooing everything else, aren't they?
So, yeah, that's Bimini.
That's Bimini. Mm. Bimini boo-boo-boo.
Right, we're going to push off, Tissy.
It's getting late, Captain. We should return to port. What, Japan?
Well...
Do we live in Japan now?
Well, no, we're going to head back to England.
Ah, sweet. Not that I don't want to go out to Japan.
We talked about Pirates of the Caribbean earlier, didn't we?
Big up to Japan listeners.
We're going to play you a little clip from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Ooh, do we have to?
While the sun's setting outside. So, Tiss, you know Pirates of the Caribbean.
I love it.
Ever gazed upon the green flash, Master Gims. I reckon I've seen my fair share. Happens on rare occasion. The last glimpse of sunset, a green flash shoots up into the sky. Some go their whole lives without ever seeing it. Some claim to have seen it who ain't. And some say it signals when a soul comes back to this world from the dead. Sorry.
Is the green flash real?
Sorry.
Yeah, the green flash is totally real.
What?
A lot of people... It's so easily visible across the ocean because it's such a flat horizon... That you have such a clear view of the sun setting that sometimes you get a green light hovering above the sun.
Yeah.
And it's known as the green flash.
Is that when a soul comes back to Earth?
Maybe.
What do geologists say?
Sometimes during sunset you
natural
can see
occurrence.
The rays of green light above the sun.
Okay.
It's perfect over the ocean as there is an unobstructed horizon. And I've got video footage of the green flash.
Awesome. Hello.
A perfect green flash sunset. And prepare for disappointment, because when they said green flash to me, I accepted the whole back to light up a green, and it's literally just a green glow above the sun.
So only flash for like a second then?
It's not even a flash. The name shouldn't be called a flash. It's like you see this ball coming up above it now.
It's like its aura.
It's green above it. It flashes up green, green. They like flash off above it.
That's it.
Wait. Because at the end, that's when you get the most pronounced bit.
This is a jump scare.
It's this last ball here. It's green. See, it's green.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
That's the green flash.
Yeah. Right. I was a bit disappointed.
It's disappointing compared to all these like pirate towers you hear of the green flash in films.
And that's it.
And that's the green flash.
It's not very flashy, is it?
By the pirates down the pub.
Mm. So yeah, green flash is a bit...
It's alright, isn't it?
It's alright.
It's aliens?
Optical phenomena, sometimes. Yeah, boy, optical phenomena. Do you really need to know more than that?
Nah.
Does it for me.
It's natural occurrence, isn't it?
Green flash is enhanced by mirage. Well,
what do you think it is?
Increased refraction.
I think it's the Atlanteans trying to say, hey.
Yeah, I think so.
If the Earth isn't flat, then why does the sea all stay together? Because it would just fall off the edge of the world, wouldn't it? Into space. Apart from like top, true north.
No. That's not science.
If I soaked a tennis ball in water...
Yeah.
It would all drip down and off.
Yeah, that's...
Imagine if the sea dripped. Imagine if our Earth dripped into space. Where is down, though, in space? It's not really a thing, is it? Gravity's all around us.
Right, well, the sun sets around us, and we just witnessed that amazing green flash. What's it's cold nice? And dark. We're just going to chuck our anchor in the sea and wait here for the night.
Chuck our what?
Anchor.
Okay.
Anchor's away.
Oh, anchor.
Where can people contact us if they want to?
Weird Tales, Blogspot...
Weird Tales on the unexplainable.com.
Yeah.
And on there you can find Twitter, Facebook, contact us, whatever. You can donate money if you want to. You can become a patron by clicking the patron thing on the website. And we've had quite a few people become patrons this week. And that's super, super appreciative. Like, it really helps out. I know it's a cliche to say, but as little as $1 a month towards the show will really help us out, as we're at the moment trying to get some new recording equipment. We've got the episode 100 looming closer and closer, and Beef's a daddy now, so daddy needs money for tat.
Daddy's tatty fund.
Tatty daddy.
So yeah, and just a few things, and also if we can get like enough money coming in, maybe we can make some extra time to put together some weird news episodes again, because on our current fortnightly schedule, it's going to be really hard to put together weird news, and I know people are missing them. So yeah, Patreon.
I'm really missing weird news.
It really helps.
I can't believe you're missing weird news.
It's like the love hate.
Hate it.
I love to hate it though.
Honestly, like as well, thanks everyone who's been in contact since the awards. Like we've had so much thanks, congratulations, contact, like so much stuff from everyone. Like
always
picking a listener of the week this week was fucking hard.
Yeah,
it's only because of the topic that I managed to pick one.
Yeah.
And I would have made Anthony listener of the week.
Yeah.
Because the beers.
Yeah.
I'm not taking that bribery.
No. That'd be next fortnight. We don't want to do that.
No. We got a message while we was at the awards from a listener. I think it might have been Dale even. And he works at sea. He spends a lot of time at sea. And he listens to us in his shared cabin with all his other seamen. And really? And they get annoyed at him for chuckling away in his bunk, listening to weird tales.
No. Has he seen the green flash?
I don't know. Christopher Dugmore, if you're listening on your ship, I know you're not the captain. Have you ever seen the Green Flash? Or any of this stuff? Oh, wouldn't it be cool if he's listening to some of these tales while he's at sea?
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
I imagine he would be if he's
anyway,
at sea all the time.
Yeah, listener of the week, Dougie, Christopher Dugmore.
Hell yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Do you need to go?
Yeah, I need to. It's 10 o'clock, yeah.
Tissy's going. See you later, Tissy.
See you later, shipmates. I'm jumping off.
Going down to the cabin, right, to sleep.
I'm going on the old rowboats. Good luck with the jolly.
Thanks.
You're a dad forever now, so.
Yeah, so if a stranger what do I do if a stranger...
If someone asks you, you've got to say you're a dad.
Oh, can't I just say no?
No.
All
right.
See you later,
dude. Right, now he's gone.
Uh-huh.
Thought I'd end the story. Are we going to park up here right on the bottom? Of Africa, South Africa.
Yeah, Cape Town.
Yeah. Awesome. You heard of the legend of the Flying Dutchman?
I know about the Flying Dutchman. I don't know anything about it. I've just heard the words in a sentence.
Okay. By the way, I didn't say before, all the links and everything I've read and everything, if you want more information on anything, because we have glossed over it because there's a lot of content to get through tonight, I'm going to put loads of stuff on the website this week. So If you want more info on any of this stuff, it'll all be on there. Anyway. The Flying Dutchman, according to folklore, is a ghost ship which is doomed to sail the oceans forever. There have been numerous sightings of the ship, and it is usually spotted from a distance, glowing with ghostly light. It is said that if she is hailed by another ship, her crew will often try to send messages to land or to people long since dead. In ocean lore, the sight of this phantom ship is reckoned by seafarers to be a sign of impending doom. The legend of the Flying Dutchman is said to have started in 1641, when a Dutch ship sank off the coast of the Cape of Good Hope. The Flying Dutchman was returning home to Holland after a trip to the Far East. As the ship approached the tip of Africa, Captain Van der Decken thought that he should make a suggestion to his employers, the Dutch East India Company, to start a settlement at the Cape of the Tip of Africa to provide a welcome respite to ships at sea. He was so deep in thought that he failed to notice the dark clouds looming, and only when he heard the lookout screams in terror did he realise that they had sailed straight into a fierce storm. The captain and his crew battled for hours to get out of the storm, and at one stage it looked like they would make it. Then they heard a sickening crunch. The ship had hit treacherous rocks and began to sink. As the ship plunged downwards, Captain Van der Decken knew that death was approaching. He was not ready to die and screamed out a curse. I will round this cape, even if I have to keep sailing until doomsday. Many people had claimed to have seen the Flying Dutchman, including the crew of a German submarine boat during World War II, many holidaymakers, and even a king of the United Kingdom. On July 11, 1881, the Royal Navy ship, the Bechante, was rounding the tip of Africa when they were confronted with the sight of the Flying Dutchman. The midshipman, a prince who would later become King George V, recorded that the lookout man and the officer of the watch had seen the Flying Dutchman, and he used these words to describe the ship. A strange red light, as of a phantom ship all aglow, in the midst of which light the mast, spars, and sails of the brig 200 yards distant stood out in strong relief. Soon, on the same trip, the lookout who had spotted the Flying Dutchman accidentally fell from the mast and died. Fortunately for the British royal family, the young midshipman survived the curse.
Ooh.
So until next time, plain sailing.
Nice. Mate, I've been looking at some of these like photos and tales of the Flying Dutchman.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, I've heard of the Flying Dutchman a lot, and I just never knew that that was...
No, I never knew the story.
Wow.
Have you got baby monitors?
Yeah, we've got a couple.
Imagine if you heard one day down the baby monitor, like, "Hey, Dad, baby needs milk." Sorry, Joel, when you're listening to this in a few...
Don't ever listen to
10
this.
10 years. Of course he will. He'll listen to all of this.
It might not be really like...
Oh my God, I'm saying hey to Joel from the past.
Yeah.
He's like 18 now.
Joel, if you ever listen to this... Send me a text to let me know you're listening to this one right now. Text. I'll always remember.
In like 20 years, text.
I don't know if texts are a thing. Contact me on your, like, cyber phone, dude.
Send us a message on your VCR.
I've mopped it, Captain.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.